Join a Connect group today. Today is Connect Group Sunday, and we're excited that God is calling us to be a family together and to join together stronger and better than ever. And so today, that's going to be our focus of the whole morning and even into the afternoon a little bit. But let's start with prayer. Father, we come before you today, and we're so grateful for our family of brothers and sisters in the Lord, that you've put us together in a group so we can care for one another and love one another. And Lord, today we pray that you would help us to love on Bob Gerard and just to build him up and strengthen him as he has lost his wife. And Father, so we just pray that this will be a part of who we are. We pray, Lord, for Shirley Wood. We pray, Lord, that as she is at death's door, that we would be able to love on her and care for her, and that she would know that there are people who love her even as she passes into your kingdom. We ask, Lord, that we would do the same for all who are sick, all who are suffering. We pray, Lord, that you would put the lonely, as the scriptures say, put the lonely into families. And so we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be a family here today. We pray, Lord, that as we open your word, that you would speak to our hearts, that it would be applied to us. And Lord, we pray that we would not be like a man who looks in a mirror and then walks away and does nothing about the mess he sees. But Lord, that we will be like people who are concerned about our spiritual life and who desire to hear your voice this morning. So Lord, I pray that you would anoint me, that I might speak your word powerfully and boldly and truthfully, and anoint all of us that we would hear what the Spirit says to the church this morning. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know that you've probably heard the saying that we are, that's tied together. We are creatures of habit, and so we tend to do the same thing over and over again without really always realizing it. I mean, my 6 foot plus giants of a family always sit in the front row. I know we kind of block everybody's view, but you know, Jennifer plays the piano, we like to be together. Who always sits behind us? They're not there today. The Chinese girls, yeah, that's right. They're having their anniversary service, and the Chinese girls are today gone to help with our children. But yeah, that's who always sits. Who always sits right there? Mark, yeah. Who always sits over here? Darlene and Randy, of course. Yeah, we know where everybody sits. You know that if you look back there, you'll see that Wellesley Smith is not feeling well. He's not here today. And if you, I mean, you know, I look, I see all the people, you're all sitting where you always sit. Why do you sit there? Habit. Exactly. We are creatures of habit. We just do the same thing over. There's no, you know, these five seats over here, they're not special. You know, we always sit on them, but they're not special to us. They just happen to be ours. Don't sit there. But that's the way we are, right? Now, you know, we learn habits when we're very, very young. You know, some kids suck their thumbs. Some have their little blankie, you know, that they always use. Some have, you know, that little stuffed animal that goes with them everywhere, you know, and it's like filthy and it's like rotting. And, you know, it goes to bed with them. It sits beside their bowl of milk in the morning and it gets splashed on. And then it goes back to bed with it's just disgusting. But, you know, it's a habit, right? They can't live life without it. Well, you know, I was a strange kid. I had a weird habit when I was a kid. I'll let you in on a weird secret that I had. You know how mothers will rock their kids to sleep? And sometimes they'll sing to their kids? Well, I don't know if my mom did that or not when I was young. Probably she did. I don't know. I'm too small to remember. But I remember that I rocked myself and sang myself to sleep. Is that weird or what? I mean, I'll get to that. It was kind of like this. I would lay in my bed, and I'd go like this. Oh, I feel tired already. Still works. And that's what I would do. And it was kind of odd, but I did it for a long, long time. Now, when you're doing it at home, to what age, yeah, when you do it at home, it's not a big deal. But I started going to friends' places for sleepovers. And I'd hear, like, what are you doing? oh, it's really embarrassing, right? Like, and then I go to camp, right? And there'd be like a whole bunch of kids in my cabin, and all of a sudden someone would say, "What are you doing?" And I'd be like, "Oh, it's so embarrassing. Like, I'm a teenager now. I'm totally embarrassed." So, and I remember thinking as a teenager, man, I have got to stop doing this, because I started doing it in my sleep. I'd be rocking in my bed in my sleep, singing to myself, mumbling, whatever. It was weird. But I remember thinking so distinctly, man, if I ever get married, I have to make sure I've stopped this before I ever get married, you know. So, but I basically dealt with it when I was a teenager, and I made sure it was ended. And so I didn't get married till I was 25. So, you know, many years in between, I hadn't been doing it, you know. So I thought. All of a sudden, one day, my wife says, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "This is so weird." See, you're still learning new things about your pastor. It was just so embarrassing. So I said to her, you know, I talked about it and explained it. Must be from some childhood trauma or something. I don't know. But I said, you know, "Can you help me?" So she would wake me up every time I did it. And after a couple of more times, it was completely over and I was safe. So I thought, until one day, at a board retreat at this church, I was bunking with, what's his name, Tim Follow. And in the morning he said, "What were you doing last night?" So embarrassing. That was one of the most embarrassing, and now I'm sharing it with all of you, eh? Ay, 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 talk about embarrassing. I don't think I've done it for 20 years, but be fair warned if you ever bunk with me somewhere. You might want to choose someone else, I don't know. At least you'll know what I'm doing. But did you notice how a silly little habit from childhood, from infancy, how much power it has, how much sticking force it has in our lives? And that's the way habits are. They stick, and they stick, and they stick. And it's like we can't get rid of the bad ones, and it seems like we can't ever get the good ones, because they're both good ones and bad ones, right? But you'll notice that this power of just that way of putting myself to sleep, as strange as it might be, you're all going to go, "Pastor, you need to go see a psychiatrist or something." You know? But I think I've got it. I hope so. Jennifer, last time, don't say anything, please. Tell me at home. But you know what? It's part of why the Bible says in Proverbs. It has a proverb. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." What the Bible is saying there is, make habits, pump habits into your children. Because when they're older, those habits will carry on and continue. You know, I have uncles and aunts that I'm not entirely sure if they're believers. They have a form of godliness, though. They go to church twice every Sunday. They read their Bibles every day to their children. They pray every day. But I'm not sure they really understand the message that Jesus Christ paid for their sins and washed it away. But you know what I discovered? They also send their kids to a Christian school. What I discovered, that almost all my cousins, I believe, are true believers. And it's the habits that were ingrained by their parents, just these basic habits of reading the Bible every day with the family, praying every day with the family, caused my cousins all to understand what the Bible was talking about. And most of them are all believers today and are now have families that they are training and building these habits into. And it's amazing how it just good habits have incredible power in our lives. So today, you know, habits can be good, right? Brushing your teeth in the morning, Good habit. Keep that one up. Shoulder checking or checking your mirrors when you're changing lanes. Pretty natural. Have you noticed that? You don't have to think about that. It's just a natural, it's a habit. These are good habits. Of course, then there's some harmful habits that we have, you know. Every time you turn on your computer, one of my habits is to go to the game I love to play on my computer instead of doing the work I'm supposed to be doing. Bad habit, okay? Every time if after every meal you have a drink, bad habit. That's going to lead to alcoholism. If every time you have a break, you grab a smoke, bad habit. It's going to lead to lung cancer and all kind of emphysema and all kinds of nasty stuff. Every time you see yourself in the mirror, if you're preening away, it's vain, you know. And then the list goes on. Chewing cheeks and biting your fingernails and popping zits and... Okay, sorry, I got a little graphic there. But, I mean, all these habits that people do that are kind of, you know, they're nasty habits. Well, the Bible only talks about, I could only find one nasty habit in the Bible. The whole Bible, look through the whole Bible, only found one place where it talks about a nasty habit. And you won't believe what that nasty habit is. Let's read about it in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not, or do not give, how does it start? I forget. Anyways, do not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. What's the nasty habit? Not meeting together. Did you know that that's a nasty habit? It's the only habit that I could find in the NIV Bible. But encouraging one another and all the time, and all the more as you see the day approaching. God wants us, the writer of Hebrews points out very specifically that you can fall into a nasty habit very easy. How do you fall into a habit? What's the first step of falling into a habit? Repetition, yeah. What's even before that? Doing it once, exactly. Yeah. If you don't want to have the habit of smoking, don't ever smoke. You know, if you don't want to get into the habit of drinking, don't ever take up a bottle. I mean, it's pretty simple. And if you don't do it the first time, you won't ever fall into the habit. But we are creatures. We do it once, we do it twice, do it three. If we stop going to church, if we pull ourselves out of a care group, or maybe we've been going with a group of people that we study the Word together, or maybe you go to prayer meeting together, or maybe you go to church together, and you just, oh, well, you know, I'm tired. I was busy last night, and I'm just going to skip out once. Okay, that's okay. That happens, you know, to everybody. But if we keep doing it every once in a while, pretty soon, not going to the group where we get spiritually nourished becomes a habit. And it's a bad habit. We're told, don't get into the habit of doing that. In other words, it is okay to do it once or twice, I guess. You know, I look back, I kind of thought about how often have I missed church. Now, if you include the times that I took church with me when I go camping, then that's not really missing church, okay? But I can't remember very often missing church. It's an ingrained habit. I went to church when I was 4 days old. I went to church the next Sunday and every Sunday since, till now, minus maybe total. And it's just a habit that my parents ingrained in me. And we went to church twice every Sunday. And you know, you might say, well, Pastor, come on, you don't need to be so fastidious about it. You're right, you don't need to be so fastidious about it. But the problem is that our world is changing. I started attending Eastgate Alliance Church 25 years ago. 25 years ago, there was about 160 people that called Eastgate Alliance Church their home. On Sunday morning, 140 of those 160 people were always at church. Like, so there was 20 people, you know, maybe switching places. Some of them weren't. So that's about 90% of the people who called our church home were here. Today, we have about 350 people who call Eastgate their home church. Look around you. You think there's 350 people here? 90% of 350 people? No, there's not. There's just over 200 people here, and that's with the children. And that's only about 65%. What has happened? Our habits have changed. We as a people, our habits have changed. And that's not only so. When I first came here, there was Sunday school. In Sunday school class, about a third of the congregation would go to Sunday school class. Guess how many people showed up for Sunday school class, adult Sunday school class this morning? I think one or two. About 1% probably. Things are changing. Back then, there was Sunday evening service. About half the congregation showed up every Sunday evening. And over the years, that dwindled and dwindled and dwindled and dwindled until finally, you know, the leadership started not putting much effort into it, and then it dwindled even more. And finally, we just said, okay, we're not going to do that anymore, and we're just going to have one service. So can you see what's happening here? People, we are getting in the habit of not meeting together. We're getting in the habit of giving up meeting together. And just doing it, oh, well, we'll go to church when we feel like it, rather than having a good habit of going to church. And so let's not pretend that this issue doesn't exist. It exists. And we need to call upon each other. And today I want to encourage you to be in a group of people that will actually call you. You know, there's 350 people that call this place home. And with 35% of them not here every Sunday, I can't call them all. I don't know who's missing. I don't know how long they've been missing for. I do know a little bit sometimes, but it's pretty hard. But you know what? If you're in a small group, a care group or a connect group, as we're going to be talking about in a little bit, people will notice if you're not there. And they'll notice if you're giving up meeting together. And they might give you a call and say, hey, what's up? We missed you. And you know what? When you get a call like that, it's really encouraging. It means somebody cares about you. And but if you don't ever get into a small group, you're never going to get the call. And it's not healthy. And the bad habit will carry on. The Bible is very clear that the early church met together often. And the Bible is so packed full of what it calls koinonia or fellowship. And that God has called us not to be solitary people, not to be alone in our Christian walk, but to be with people, to join forces with other people. One of my favorite passages, I remember when I was trying to figure out what kind of great ideas I had for the purpose of the church. I remember hearing Bill Hybels preach on this passage in Acts chapter 2. And he just blew me away. And it's like, well, I knew that. It was so simple. But this passage describes what it means to be a church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Apostles' teaching was really where's the apostles' teaching found? Mm-hmm. Thank you. The New Testament is the apostles' teaching. And they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship. What's fellowship? It's hanging out, enjoying one another's presence, talking about God and talking about what connects us. And the breaking of bread, communion. They were having communion together, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Have you ever had that sense when you've heard about someone being healed, and you're just like, whoa, that's so awesome. That's what happens in community. All the believers were together and had everything in common. You know, we find out about one another's needs and how we can share with one another when we're all together, when we're sharing. I love it when we have potlucks. That's sort of the essence of the Christian church in a microcosm, is a potluck. But really, we're supposed to be doing potluck with our whole life, not just with the food once a month or whatever. It's supposed to be our whole life. You know, like, oh, you need a place to stay? Oh, my house is open. Oh, you need a car? Well, sure. Go help yourself. Here are the keys. Go ahead. You need a bicycle? You need whatever it is. That's the way God is calling us to live in community. If we don't hang out with each other, if we never see each other, can't have community. We can't share our lives with one another. They sold their property and possessions to give to everyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together. Now you think, okay, well, once a week is tough. I mean, I got to get out of bed early Sunday morning, and everyone else is doing their own thing, and you know, I can't go play ball with the kids. And once here in the early church, every day they were meeting together in the temple courts. I love the fact that every day we have a prayer meeting here at the church. So you do have the opportunity, and some people avail themselves of this opportunity and come every day. They're like Anna in the New Testament, you know, being at the temple courts every day. It's awesome. And they broke bread. So when they go to the temple courts, it's like the big meeting. That's like this group. But then it says, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. That is awesome. I know one of the connect groups that we have, once a month, they have a meal together. And everybody brings their, it's a potluck. And they've invited me to this thing twice. It's awesome. Everybody's, we had a meeting on Friday. And when people came, they weren't talking very much. And we sat around in someone's living room. And then we did a little bit of teaching. And then we brought out food. And when the food arrived, the volume of the talking in the room went way up, way higher than at any other time. It seems like God has hardwired us that when there's food, we talk. You'd think you'd have your mouth full or something, but apparently, no, we talk when we have food and we enjoy it. Something about having food together and fellowship is something that God gives us. And then they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It's just, you know, when you're eating together, it's the most enjoyable thing around. I mean, it's awesome. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. I think the way we meet together is connected with the way people see us and want to be part of us. And when we have amazing fellowship, and we have amazing unity, and we have amazing sharing, people are attracted to that, and God will allow people to be saved because they're attracted to the way we do fellowship together. That's an awesome thing. a couple of years ago, I didn't meet with any Christian group. I didn't go to church for 2 weeks straight, and I wasn't part of a small group or the staff at church, which is kind of like my little connect group. And it was weird. I was like wondering, what is wrong? What's going on? And I was feeling odd. And all of a sudden I realized, oh, I haven't been with my Christian brothers and sisters for a while. And it's bothering me. And there's something going on with my relationship with God. It's not the same. And I realized it was because I had not had Christian fellowship for a while. You know, in today's world, we appear to be connected with one another. I mean, we've got cell phones, we text message each other, we have emails and we email each other, we Facebook, FaceTime, Twitter, and on it goes. We have all these things. But really, are we really connecting? It seems that no matter how connected we are technically, I know my sons, you know, my mother-in-law was over at our place one time, and she heard Aaron talking in the basement. And she said, who's Aaron talking to? And we said, oh, he's talking with his friends. Oh, I didn't know he had friends over. Oh, no. He's talking on the internet. He's playing a game with them on the internet. And she said, oh, well, should I go down and meet them? And I, no, they're not here. They're in their homes. And she's like, what? She just couldn't compute what was going on. But, you know, my friends, when I was a kid, if I wanted to hang out with my friends, I had to go to their house. I had to, you know, we'd unicycle together or we'd go shoot baskets or whatever. We'd actually have to be together to do that. But today, it seems like our kids are having fun with their friends by themselves, alone in a room with their computer. It's not quite the same thing. You know, you can get much better teaching. I'm going to tell you a little secret here. You can get much better teaching than my preaching if you just go on your TVs at home, okay? I'm not trying to tell you to buzz off. I'm just saying you're here for a reason. It's probably not to hear me preaching. It's probably because God has called you into fellowship and into community. And, you know, get a little preaching thrown in as a bonus. Hopefully it's okay. But the idea of church is not preaching. It's not getting good teaching. You can download all kinds of great sermons on the internet whenever you want to. But the idea of church, the idea of fellowship, is getting together with other people, rubbing on one another. You know, not literally, but you know, you can hug one another. It's fine. It's a good thing. But you know what? It's being a body, and you can't do that by yourself. You can't do that watching your TV at home. It requires getting to know people, hanging out together. And it seems like church is one of the last bastions of a place where people can truly fellowship with one another and truly enjoy one another's company and fellowship with God at the same time. Because God didn't intend for us to be alone. Have you ever seen people in a restaurant? You know, they're sitting across from one another and they're just... Somehow, I don't think God intended that. You know what God said? When he first made humans, the first thing he said about his creation, it's not good for man to be alone. God went, no, that's not good. We got to work this out, make a helpmeet for him. We got to surround him. You know what the first thing God created for man, to give him company? Were all the animals. Yeah, didn't work out so good. They didn't communicate very well with him, you know. Adam's off naming all the animals, and they're not responding. So God says it's not good for man to be alone. We need people. God created us for people. You know, the Bible says a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps the strength. Have you ever been around people who are just joyful all the time? What does it do for you? It's just like pumps you up. It's just like, sometimes it's like, all right, already, you know, like chill. But, you know, it's hard to be down around these people. They're always up. And, you know, then there's those other people that are kind of always moping about. They always have a list of things that they want to tell you about how bad this week has been for them because, you know, it's been the worst week ever. I got a phone call just... But yes, last night, got a phone call from a lady. Is this a prayer line? I'm like, no, but we're a church. We do pray for people here. And then I was on the phone for an hour and a half with her. She poured out her story to me. She's living in Vancouver, and she just talked and talked. I'm like, lady, find yourself a care group. Find yourself a group of people that will talk to you. I mean, I didn't say it in that manner. But I did encourage her, and she hadn't been in church for years, and she said she was going to go to church, and she asked me about a couple of churches, and I said, yeah, I think that one's a good church, and I hope it's still a good church. It's been a long time since I've been in Vancouver. But anyways, that's where she was calling from. Anyways, people need community. Otherwise, they get to the end of the rope, and they call some prayer hotline, someone they don't know. It's not the same. It's not the same. Sometimes I talk with people, fairly often I talk with people, and sometimes they come into my office and they're pouring out their heart to me. And you would not believe the people sitting beside you, their stories. You would not believe how much hurt there is in this room. People need to share their stories with you. Their marriages are falling apart. Their finances are a mess. Their kids they're so concerned over their kids. They're worried about their jobs. They have regrets from things that happened to them. They had bad things done to them that they need someone to talk about. Maybe their health isn't what it used to be. And life has a way of wearing us down. And the Bible says that God puts the lonely into families. And so we as a church, we kind of looked at our church and we went, you know what? There's too many people here in this church who aren't part of a small family group. Sure, they're part of the big group, but they're not part of a small family group where they can truly talk about their needs, truly talk about what's going on in their life, truly get people involved. And so we want to help you get involved in a connect group, because it's still not good for man to be alone. A lot of times what people do when they, you know, that list I just said about all, how life is terrible, you know what a lot, most people do? Now, there's a few people who seek out other people when life goes down like that. But most people, what I've discovered, is they back off from people. And instead of going out and trying to get the help they need when they're struggling, they just go hide in a corner somewhere. And it's hard for them. And there's a particular group of people, they're called introverts, that when trials come, they just go hide. But what they find, and I've dealt with many of those, I'm one myself, kind of borderline, but what they find is if they don't share their need, their burden, they get worse and worse and worse. And eventually it ends in depression and all kinds of difficulties. It's a mess. And I know some good friends of mine, they say, you know, when I get to a certain point, if I don't seek out Christian brothers and sisters to talk to, I fall off the cliff. And sometimes Christian brothers and sisters scrape the broken egg off the ground, but a lot of times they don't even know that I've fallen off the cliff. And I'm just in my own little world, pity party or whatever it might be, and it's awful place. So we need to make habits, this is where it all ties together, we need to make habits of being together in a group so that when the day of evil comes, there will be people there to support us. There will be people that notice, oh, where's so-and-so? I noticed they've been looking kind of tired or sad or whatever. And so they'll be around to help us out. We need these habits. You know, we need one another to build each other up. You know the story of Wilbur William Force. It's got my name in it twice. Almost. William Wilberforce, he's the guy that worked tirelessly to get England to abolish slavery in the 1800s. And he felt like he was butting his head against the system and everything. It was just never going. And he brought it to Parliament twice, and twice it was just defeated. And he was so discouraged, and he wanted to just pack it in and give up. And he had a friend, and his friend's name was John Wesley. John Wesley was miraculously saved out of the slave trade industry, and he was William Wilberforce's good friend, but John Wesley was dying. He was, in fact, he would die 6 days later. But when he heard about Wilberforce's trouble, he rallied himself, sat up in bed, and wrote Wilberforce a letter. And I want to read that letter for you. This is what John Wesley wrote. Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you'll be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them stronger than God? Oh, be not weary in well-doing. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might. And are they stronger? He's referring to the British Parliament. Are they stronger than God? And William Wilberforce took that letter and was encouraged to such a great extent that he pressed on and pressed on. And do you know, 3 days before William Wilberforce died, 3 days, the British Parliament, he wasn't even in the British Parliament at the time, the British Parliament passed a law stopping all slavery, the abolition of slavery. Amazing. But it was because someone encouraged him. Who's encouraging you? Who are you encouraging? I've had times when I needed so much encouragement, it's crazy. Remember our passage here? Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. That's the primary purpose of why we get together. It's to encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. I believe Jesus is coming back any day. I mean, we see signs of it. I don't have time to go into all the signs of the fact that Jesus is coming back soon. But they're there. You figure it out. And so you got to ask yourself, well, how do I encourage? I mean, if we're supposed to be doing this more and more, how do I encourage? Well, we need to go to the verse before. Let's look at the verse before. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how we might spur one another on. One of these lights is driving me crazy. It's blinking. Anyway, sorry. Let us consider how we might spur one another on to love and good deeds. And let us not stop meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. See what it's saying? It's saying that we need to figure it out. Consider. Let us consider, that's thinking, how we might spur one another. The Greek word for spur is not your encourage and help each other. It's poke. You know what a spur is? The cowboys using, you know, spur their horses on. It's poking. It's prodding. It's pushing. It's not really a nice, comfortable word. It's like, yeah, get people a little bit uncomfortable once in a while. Let's think of ways, really, the NLT says, let's think of ways to motivate one another to love and good deeds. How do you have, you can only do that in community. If you go around to someone who's alone all the time, and you just go walk up to them and say, hey, you need to smarten up in this area, you need to get involved more, you need to share the gospel with your neighbors, the person's going to look at you and go like, do I know you? Like, buzz off. But if you have a relationship with a person, that's the only way that you can have the authority and the right to poke them once in a while. You know, I used to say that unless I encourage someone five times, I don't have the right to poke them, to give some corrective criticism of them. But if I've encouraged them and I've been in a relationship with them, that's what a small group of Christians is all about. We're in relationship with one another, and then they can have the right. They've earned the right because they know you and you've talked about serious issues. They've earned the right to poke you and say, you know, like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? If it's something negative, or why aren't you doing this? If it's something positive, and we earn that right through community. I love this little story. I heard it from Norman Newland. He says there was a company that was trying to bring in a healthcare plan for their workers. It's like a benefits package, basically. But the company that gave out the benefit package said, everybody has to be signed up. You can't have any employees not signed up. You have to pay for all of them, and including the management, everybody. And so everybody, so in this big plant, everybody signed up except Sam. And the other employees were like, Sam, you got to sign up because we all benefit if you sign up. And he's like, no. And they tried to explain how good the package was and why he should do it and all this stuff. But Sam was not budging. He was a little bit stubborn, and he was not budging. He was not going to sign up. He didn't want it. He didn't want to spend the extra few bucks every paycheck, and with some possibility when he's old to collect maybe, who knows. But he didn't want it. So finally, the company president called Sam into his office. Now, Sam, you know, we've been talking about this benefits package, and we really want to get you involved. And here's an application, and here's a pen. I want you to sign that. And so I'm sorry, if you don't sign it, I'm going to have to fire you. Sam just went, picked up the pen, signed the paper, handed it to him. And the boss was like, huh. Sam, would you mind telling me why you didn't sign up earlier? Well, sir, said Sam, nobody explained it quite so clearly as you did just now. That's poking, okay? That's prodding. That's spurring one another on, considering how we might spur one another on to love and good deeds. That's what we're talking about. Sometimes it's not a nice, coddly little, oh, I think it would be really good if you helped everybody out. Sometimes it's like, you need to do this. God is calling you to do this. As your friend, I believe you have to do this. There's no question. You know, sometimes people ask me about whether suicide is okay. And I get very, very spurish. I just say, well, it's pretty unclear if your last sin is murder, where you'll be spending eternity. You know, like, I just don't pull any punches on that one. Now, honestly, I'm not sure. I think maybe some people who have committed suicide, who have Christ in their heart, are saved. But you know what? I don't say that when someone is contemplating suicide. Because I don't fully know, for one thing. And so sometimes you have to give a hard poke and not let people just believe that they can do whatever they want and they're all good in God's books. You know, one of the most basic ways of encouraging people, though, is not poking so much. It's coming alongside and encouraging them. You know, I remember our neighbor used to always harangue his boys. And I had the opposite way. I would always encourage my boys, encourage what they were doing. And I don't think it's very healthy to always be poking people. Once in a while, yeah, but mostly it's encouragement. We need to encourage. Romans 12, verse 8 says, if you have the gift of kindness, of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And so if you have the gift, maybe you say, I don't know what my gift is, but maybe a lot of you have the gift of encouragement. We need that gift in our church. Absolutely need it. Please use it. And so we need to think of ways to encourage one another. I remember my dad, I've told you this before, my dad said, always, when I was discouraged, he always said, remember that psychiatrist who said you could be anything you ever wanted to be? And he would pound that into my head. It was the most encouraging thing ever. I remember when I first preached at a church. I was interning at a church. I preached 2 or 3 sermons in a summer. And 3 years later, I went back to the church I had interned at. And a lady came up to me, and she explained how a sermon that I had given impacted her life. And she quoted from that sermon from 3 years before, almost word to word. I'm telling you, that was one of the key factors in me becoming a pastor, is the people encouraged me and said, you know, God has given you a gift. You need to use this. It was a poke and an encouragement. And so we need to do that with one another, encourage one another. You know, some of the things that we do is absolutely encouraging. I am not very good at sharing my faith cold calling. I hate it, actually. But you know what? When I was with a group of people in Evangelism Explosion, 2 or 3 of us would go out and do it. And actually, it was a lot of fun. It was awesome. But doing it by myself, doing it with someone, amazing. And so some of us need to, you know, some of us have been hurt by groups. Some have been called out in front of a group. Don't ever do that. Some have had just bad experiences in groups, people not supporting them, all that kind of stuff. And so we need to help them take those wounds off. You know, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, Jesus said to the other people standing around, take the band-aids off. And sometimes we need to go around and take band-aids off people and help them come into a group. And it might mean that people need a personal invitation to come to your Connect group and say, hey, I notice you don't have a Connect group. You want to join ours? Oh, I don't know. I'm kind of busy. Keep at it. Keep asking them. Invite them. And they will come. One other thing I want to just mention briefly at the end of the message here. And that is that the Bible says that we have an enemy. Let me read what the Bible says. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. I love the fact that you got the devil attacking you, and the next verse says, well, we got the family of God. We got this group of people that are going to help you in this attack thing. When the devil comes knocking, you got people that'll save your hide. Let's just run this video. This is a really cool video. It's of a buffalo, and it's calf. You can see the calf just behind the buffalo. And the buffalo is anxious because you see the lion skirting around this way, and two lions over here, and one flanking him from the back. He's in trouble, and that calf is in serious trouble. And the buffalo is trying to protect his calf, right? And not doing a very good job trying, but these three lions have got the better. Oh, and there goes the calf. It's game over for this calf. This calf is going to die. The buffalo is still trying to, but it's outnumbered and outflanked and in serious trouble. And, oh, here comes the mother buffalo. Oh, apparently this buffalo is part of a Connect group. And look at the calf. You see the calf there. That's it. The calf was walking around.
There's a big lion.
And was probably safe. So it's an awesome thing. Next week, I'm starting a series in the end of the book of Ephesians. And the series is about the armor of God. And so I'm going to give you a sneak preview into the armor of God. Look at this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We have a masterful being set against us. He's very powerful, and you cannot face him alone. It can't be done. You need to face him with the Lord's armor, with the power of God. It's the only way. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand. And then after that, it goes on to describe the various pieces of steel plating and breastplates and belts of truth and shoes of the gospel and the head, and all that stuff. It goes on to describe all that, that we need to what? Put on. Right? Now, this is in the middle tense, so this is what you do to yourself. You put the armor on yourself. But you know what? What I've discovered about armor is that most people can't put armor on themselves. They need help. Here's a little video of someone putting on some medieval armor. Notice the guy whose armor it is isn't really doing a whole lot. And the Roman armor was the same way. I mean, it wasn't quite as complicated as this, but it needed help. People had to help the person putting on the armor to get it on. And so even though we need to put the armor of God on ourselves and we have people to help us with that, we also need the body of Christ to get it all together, to put all the snaps in and tie all the things and stick it all on. Can you imagine trying to tie something on your shoulder like that? You know, it's not possible. So that's good. Thank you. God has given us a defense mechanism. And today, I want to spur you on. And the loving good deeds I want to spur you on to is to get into a Connect group. And so I want to just illustrate what this is all about. So if I could have a volunteer, that would be great. Someone come on up. I knew Mark was going to volunteer. I had that feeling before I even, came up here. And I thought, well, Mark's going to be the Christian. So Mark, you're a good, strong Christian. And so here's your tag, just to make sure that everybody knows who you are. Now, this little ring, this tiny little ring, represents Christian doctrine, Christian truth, holiness, righteous living, all that Christianity is. So, Mark, can you stand in that circle? And just stay in that circle. Is it very difficult?
No.
No, not too difficult. Well, that's because the temptation hasn't happened. You remember what happened with Job? The devil came to God and said, oh, sure, it's fine. It's easy for him to stay legit and everything because there's nothing bad. So I need some more volunteers. Three people. Come on up. So, okay, yeah, here. This suits Christine. She's the tempter, right? There you go. one more volunteer, okay? Humanism. The humanistic things. And then there's, okay, now, you guys, I want you to push Mark out of that circle. Okay? Come on, push him out. Like, that's what you're doing, like, right? I knew he would resist. But, and that's too bad. Okay. But Mark, get back in your circle, will you? Come on. Okay, so Mark needs a Christian friend. Who's the Christian friend? Can we have a Christian friend? Okay. Oh, here we go. Okay, so Christian friend, you help him. You help him stay in that circle, okay? Oh, look, there's even one for me.
Just in case we didn't know.
Okay, so now let's see if you can get him out of the circle, okay? Come on. You're terrible temptations.
And faster.
Just a minute. Okay, here, we'll switch a sec. Okay, now we'll see what's going to happen. Okay, you keep him from getting pushed out of the circle there. Oh, yeah, the temptation is quite a bit. Okay. Now we're seeing. Okay, now hold a sec. I need seven other volunteers. Seven other people. Okay, get back. Not serious. It's getting a little abused. Okay, here. Connect group accountability. Oh, we got a connect group leader here. We got, okay, now they're coming out of the world. The connect group prayer partner. Oh, prayer partner. Connect group friend. Who's the connect group friend? Oh, there we go. And another connect group member. Oh, okay, connect group member. We have one. Oh, we need a prayer warrior. Prayer warrior, come on, somebody. Yeah, there we go. I knew there would be somebody. Prayer warrior, okay. Link arms with that Christian guy. Okay, apparently I'm still the worries of life, deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things. All right, I'm going to get to you. Maybe not. Thank you, everybody. Awesome job. Okay, you get it? I think it's fairly obvious. It was cheap. The faith has gone through difficulties, but it's still holding together. Yay. There's been many temptations and trials and humanism that has tried to destroy it, but it's still a circle, sort of. So, I'm not pulling any punches here. You need to be in a connect group. We have met together with our leadership team. I'd just like to introduce the leadership team. Michelle and Carmen, if you guys could stand. And then David and Gemma. I think they're in the kitchen working. So anyways. Hi, Gemma. And is David with you? Okay, so he's busy, okay? He's setting everything up for you guys. Okay, so I just wanted to meet you. This team has been working hard for the last 3 weeks to help prod you into a small group. So a lot of times we say, go out there and find a small group. And what we've done today is we've brought all the small groups here. And we are, and they've all brought, all the leaders have brought a pot of soup for you. Okay, so this is how serious we are about wanting you to come and join these groups. We've brought the groups to you. There's 21 groups. I'd like you to turn in your bulletins and just open up the fly leaf, and let's have it up on the screen as well. So find this white sheet of paper in your bulletin, and you'll see on this white sheet of paper all of these 21 groups. Now, our vision is not that you go to a care group morning or a connect group morning and evening. We started calling them connect groups because we believe that we need to connect together to make ourselves stronger. And the yellow ones are ones that everyone is invited to. Children, adults, teenagers, everybody. You can go to these connect groups and enjoy fellowship. The red ones also, everybody can join, but they are more specialized. They're foundational things. The ones on the other side are niche connect groups. They're all written up in these little flyers that you have, and they meet at different times. And then the ones at the bottom there are linguistic connect groups. And our idea is that not that you go to the church every day of the week, but that everybody has at least one place where they are fellowshipping, where they are connecting with a small group of people that they really feel at home with. And so I'm going to ask all of the people who are represented by these groups, while the next little video is playing, if they could come up here at the front and come right up on the stage. And if you could, line yourself up according to the flyer. I'll point you in the right direction so that people can follow in here what's going on. come on right up on the stage. Can we play the next video? Okay, so Leanne, you're right here. And Naya over here. Okay, is this on? Okay, so if you follow along in your little flyer, I'm just going to briefly review all the different people. And if we could turn the sound down on the video, that'd be good. So, your name?
Nahia.
This is Nahia, the dad, and she's a leader of Alpha. And when do you guys meet?
Wednesday at 6 o'clock.
And is Pascal here? No. Who's your other leader?
She's in Sunday school. Pascal and Liliette. A few others.
Okay, and this is for what?
For Alpha Youth and Alpha Adult or Young Adults as well.
So what are they learning?
We have three groups. Foundations of basics of Christian faith.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. And what kind of soup do you bring today?
I brought beef and wheat. It's a Lebanese one.
Lebanese, all right. Oh, and another one. Okay. So, okay. And Peter, what group are you leading?
Foundations for Life.
And what does that do?
So this is for people that are already believers, although if somebody's not, they could still become a believer through the group. But it's really for, as the name implies, it's building a strong foundation for your life. Jesus talked about, you know, the house that's built on a rock. It's about that kind of idea of getting a solid foundation under your life.
And what kind of soup do you bring?
Lentil sausage.
Oh, lentil sausage. All right. Leanne,
hello.
What group do you lead?
I lead the Tuesday night Connect group. It's in, well, right now it's in Beacon Hill, but then it'll be moved closer to where Silver City is, as we're going to be meeting at the Taylors.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
And so it meets at 7 o'clock on Tuesdays, and my soup is a summer corn chowder.
Oh, man. This is going to be, I'm going to have to get a lot of bowls of soup. Okay. Sydney. This is Sydney Grierson, and he leads
the Thursday Bible study group.
And where do you meet?
We meet in the chapel down the hall on the first and third Thursdays of the month. We've already had our first meeting, and we basically read and study God's Word.
Amen. Thank you. Adult Sunday School. Is Jim up here? Okay, awesome. He's doing what we're talking about. He's fellowshipping. He's caring for Bob Girard. So Jim's class is on Sunday mornings. I think right now they're meeting in the old library, and they're studying the book of Hebrews. Then Jason Christensen here, and what are you guys studying?
We're doing the Truth Project. It's studying Christian worldview in science, philosophy, and history.
What time?
Thursdays at 7 o'clock here at the church.
Do you bring soup?
Yeah, carrot soup.
Oh, carrots. Awesome. Oh, man, I'm getting hungry. Are you guys getting hungry? Awesome. Teresa, where do you guys meet?
So we meet on Wednesday night at 833 Eastvale Drive, which is my house. Currently, we're studying something called Onward, and it's about being a Christian in a world that's very, very different, and how we seem very freakish to other people, and we're discussing that. And I brought butternut squash soup.
Oh man. They asked me, do we need to figure out what, make sure we have variety? So far, so good, hey? All right, so now Carlos. This is Carlos Espinosa,
yes.
Right? I've been getting his name wrong for weeks. So where do you guys meet? What are you studying?
We met different places. Actually, it's not just one place, for we believe that the enemy cannot really pin us or hit us because when you move, so it's hard for him to catch us. So we actually sending emails every week before we met because it's sometimes we're in Gatineau. Oh, it's every week anyway, so weekly, either Saturday or Friday. And we always like bring food, so it's different type of food, like Canadian maybe, or Filipino, or Chinese, or any type of food, every service or every meetings, so every week. And so what's another question, sir?
What kind of soup do you bring?
Oh, yeah, it's different food, as I said. It's soup or any other dishes. We're studying more on the Word of God. It's like it's not just teaching. It's you have you bring it, and we will discuss it, and we'll pray for it. So it's also prayer. There's also praise and worship. There's everything. We next Saturday, actually, we are going to do bowling. So it's not free, though. You have to pay also.
Thank you. Now, let's see who's next. This is Eliezer Gahin. And what are you guys studying?
I will be studying Book of Hebrew.
Okay, another book of Hebrew.
Be from the beginning now.
Right on.
I guess other groups are already far.
There's three groups studying the Book of Hebrews. Do you think God is trying to tell us something? I think maybe God wants us to understand who the Messiah really is in connection with the Old Testament. So three groups studying Hebrews, you got to check it out. I think God's trying to say something with that.
It's going to be the majesty of Christ.
Amen. Yeah. And where are you meeting?
It will be in my house in Pine Glade Crescent, Chapel Hill.
Okay. And did you bring some Eritrean soup?
It's not Eritrean.
Oh!
I'm not sure what soup is, but there's some chicken
His
on
wife
it.
Is a great cook, by the way. So, awesome. And so, Burning House Hearts of Prayer. Now he has the leader. They meet every night, and a variety of teachers and leaders, and everyone's invited. Pastoral Epistles Connect Group. Now, this is Magdi and Claudine. They're also fairly new here. You know what's interesting? I've been talking about fellowship, and we had a meeting. Sorry, guys, I'll have to get to you in a minute. We had a meeting on Friday night, and there were people there who've been in our church. Almost everybody had been in our church for at least 9 months. I'd say everybody had been there at least 9 months. Do you know that we got up and said, okay, well, who doesn't know each other? And half, about on average, the people didn't know half the other people, half the other leaders in our group. And it kind of goes to show us that we're actually not doing that well with this fellowship thing, and we really need this. Anyway, so I'm getting sidetracked. Magdi, what are you studying?
We are going to study about leadership and principles through the pastoral epistles. and the details with Claudine.
We will always get the details. For those who don't know us, we have been with Nahia's House of Prayer for almost a year now, helping with intercession and teaching. But we felt on our heart to study the books, the pastoral epistles, Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus. And we are going to study the books in details, but we are going to highlight the principles of leadership in the books. It's going to be a real study. It's not meditation. We highly encourage you to come if you can. And it's going to be Saturday at 7 o'clock p.m. twice a month.
Where?
In the church here in one of the classrooms,
one
I guess.
One of the rooms we give them.
Wherever, yeah, okay. Wherever they put us, yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well. Thank you, Claudia. Now we have going to some niche groups, and there you are. Catherine Bernard is here, and what's your group? What's the purpose of your group?
Hi, thanks. I'm really actually glad to share a little bit with you about Arm in Arm. It's a support group for women, and our group is a little bit less visible than some of the other groups, so I just wanted to encourage you, if you know of women here in the church or even outside of church that you think would benefit from being part of a support group, if they've been through any kind of family or emotional crisis or trauma of any kind, you know, we're here. We provide a safe place where women can share, receive prayer. We're not counseling service, but we're just a group to come alongside, hence the name, and be with them and care for them. Thanks.
When do you meet?
We meet on Wednesdays. We coordinate it so that we'd be meeting at the same time as Faith Friends. So if there's women that don't have childcare, that they'd still be able to come.
Thank you. Now there's 7-Up. This is Christine Laws, and tell us about 7-Up.
Okay. 7-Up is a special needs group for people just out of high school to 30-something. And we meet on Friday nights, usually, sometimes Saturdays or Sundays. I am, so if you fell in the category, that's great. I also need leaders for this group. So if you want to be a leader in this group or have questions about possibly doing it, please stop by the table as well today. We are at maximum capacity leader to young adults already and have 4 more people interested in joining us.
So did you catch that? People can't join this group because they don't have enough leaders. Is God calling you to lead? I think maybe somebody is. Okay. All right. See, people are already coming out of the woodwork. Awesome. Thank you. Now, Deborah Jackson, change your name on me. tell us about your group.
Okay. I also support Christine Law's group, but we have 30 and plus, so every 4 to 6 weeks, we have a double group that joins them, and they are people with special needs. So if you know an adult 30 and plus who wants to come out for prayer and praise and worship and lunch, every 4 to 6 weeks we will announce it and have a get together as I said, we join together with the 7-Up group. It's been a lot of fun. The other group that I came to talk about was at my house. Once a month, every second Tuesday, we meet at 7 o'clock, and we study a book on prayer. We started with a book on praying for our adult children, and we continue now with a book called Fervent and learning prayer strategies to keep strong, build our faith, and support one another in prayer.
Okay. So please see Deborah if you'd like to join that group. Josh.
Oh. What soup did you bring?
I brought vegetable soup.
Vegetable soup. Homemade. So I'm Josh. I'm running the Young Adults Ministry that is going to be running the 2nd and 4th weeks of every month on Sundays. The time's going to be from about 6:30 p.m. to about roughly between somewhere 8 and 8:30. This group is just basically, it's not supposed to take over. So if you're a young adult, it doesn't mean you don't come to this church anymore on Sunday mornings. It's not something else. It's like church, but for young adult groups. So there'll be worship, teaching, food often as possible and stuff in that regard. So if you're in the 18 to 30 category, you can join us. Tonight is our first night back here at the church at 6:30. So if you want to come to that, you're more than welcome. I also brought about 20 cans of zoodles. I'm just kidding. I brought beef and barley soup.
I think I can top that. We have seafood chowder at the Arm in Arm table.
Ooh. Oh, sounds good. So are you hungry yet? Is Augusto here? I don't see him. So Augusto leads our Spanish ministry, and there's going to be a table for them as well. And where's Pastor Jacques? There. Oh. Jacques and Juliette Lapointe, tell us about the French ministry.
On se rencontre le mercredi. Pour le cours Alpha présentement. So we meet on a Wednesday for Alpha.
Say it in French.
Okay. Thank you. Et on se rencontre le vendredi. On a commencé une étude sur le retour du Seigneur. So we start a study on the return of the Lord on the Friday. And on a un projet qui va commencer dernier dimanche de chaque mois en octobre où on va avoir une célébration en français avec musique et chant. Orienté juste sur l'adoration et la prière.
Thank you. Oh.
No. Une soupe poulet remplie de légumes faite à la maison par la meilleure cuisinière.
If they didn't understand, it's not for them. No. If you didn't understand, it's not for you. So. Just a couple of instructions for lunch. First of all, you don't have to, if you want to join a group or find out about a group, please do, but you don't have to have their soup. You can go, you know, steal some soup from some other group, okay? That's fine. Even if you are not, even if you're not planning on joining a group, but you're curious about them, please stay for lunch. We'd just love to get to know you. Even if you just showed up one time, that would be fine. But we want you to feel like care groups have come or connect groups have come to the church for you. And so please avail yourself of them. So I'm just going to explain where the various groups are going to be. Okay. So all of the ones on the first page are going to be outside. All of the ones on the inside cover are going to be inside, and the ones on the both of these sheets are going to be inside. Okay, so all of the regular Connect groups are going to be inside, and then all of the ones on the back two pages are going to be outside as well. I hope that was clear enough. But let's pray for lunch and just ask God to guide us today. Father, we thank you for all those willing who brought soup, and we thank you for a time of fellowship. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to connect even over our lunch today. And, Lord, we just pray that your name would be honored as people connect with one another and fellowship in your name. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the soup, that it would give us health and the bread. And, Lord, may our discussions honor you, and that your name would be honored in this place during this time. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.